All right, welcome back. We're going to start off with a couple of questions that we got from one of them very serious. We're going to start with the extremely serious question, the very important question, the question that I myself have been asking. Caught Dingoes asks, "What did you do for the dice gods to be so against you?" I don't know, but it must have been egregious. I'm assuming that not only was it an occurrence from a past life, but it actually encompassed the entirety of the past life. Like it was a amalgamation of years of heinous crimes. That's the only explanation. So that's just a guess. However, it could be something worse. I'm not gonna say it. Anyway, thanks for that question. It's a question I often ask myself. Josh also asks, Josh Mann of Starforged fame asks, Starforged is a spoil of riches with oracles. So what factors do you consider for which oracles to roll? For example, the derelict oracle, simply peril opportunity versus rolling action theme or descriptor focus. That is a very interesting question, and I think I can illustrate it best if I switch over to the actual game. So let's talk about that. We're not gonna get into the game just yet, but we're gonna talk a little bit about this. So for me, it boils down to specificity. If that makes sense. And if it doesn't, I'll explain it by not talking about oracles here for just a second. So if I'm looking at moves, just general moves in the game, I am going to be best served by the most accurate move for what it is that I've got going on. If I am trying to assess a situation, make preparations in anticipation of some sort of activity or gain leverage, I should roll secure an advantage. That's what it's for. If I am trying to force somebody into going along with some plan that I have, either through persuasion or making them some sort of offer, I'm going to roll compel. If I need to check and see if we have a specific helpful item or resource, I can roll plus supply. I almost never do that, but that's not because it's not a good move. It's just not my, well, I haven't built this game to care about that kind of stuff. It would be a great move if I was doing a game where everyone was spies, because then I could, like, I was already ready for this. I pulled it out of my backpack because I was super prepared. If I was gonna, for some reason, use Starforge to run Spy Family, I would be rolling this all the time because I would have people pulling stuff out of their backpack all the time. Gather information. Obviously, the quest mo or the connection moves. Make a connection, developing relation, testing relationships, forging a bond, exploring waypoints. Obviously. Built into exploration moves. If that's what I'm doing, that's what I should be rolling, right? Follows. Stay with me for a minute, but I'm gonna make a pretty bold statement. I don't need any of these moves. I don't need any of these. I don't need 90% of these moves. I don't need 90% of these moves. I probably need, undertake an expedition would be nice. Don't need it. Finishing an expedition, I think probably needs would need to stay. Finishing an expedition. Probably take decisive action. Probably fulfilling your vow needs to stay. Probably. But aside from that, oh, and probably the recover moves. But that's kind of arguable. And the reason I say that is I could do all of this with face danger. I could do all of this. Face danger is just the very broad version of every other move in here that has anything to do with risk. If I have risk ongoing, then there's a move for that, and I use that move, right? So. But I don't need that because face danger is broadly when you do something risky, roll the thing. And it could be for any one of the stats. So it works. I feel like, I don't often use this as an example, but the argument that sort of a friend of mine made about Dungeon World back in the day was that you only really needed two moves in that entire game. And one was essentially the face danger move. It wasn't called face danger, it was like defy danger, not face danger, but basically the same thing. His assertion was all you needed was Defy Danger and the Ritual move. If you know what the Ritual move is, it was basically the workshop move from the original Apocalypse World, which was tell the GM what you want to do, and the GM will then turn around and she'll say, okay, for this, then you need to do 2 to 5 of these 5 things or something. And when you have done all those things, then you have achieved the deal. Okay, so the ritual was a similar kind of setup to the workshop move, and those two in their maximum flexibility and the law gameplay. That was the argument. It's not a bad argument. He's not wrong, because when you look at these other moves, gather information, secure an advantage, all they are is face danger specialized for a specific purpose. So why use them? Because they're specialized for a specific purpose. So they're going to give you something that's more focused. Now, could I use Face Danger for everything? Yes. Would it be more mentally exhausting if I did that? Also, yes. Why not use the tool that's built for the purpose rather than try to make the one screwdriver and the one hammer that I've got work for everything? Could I? Sure. If I'm a particularly skilled craftsman in this analogy, I could probably make that work. It'd probably be a pretty good thing that I made. I could probably make most of it work, but it would be it doesn't matter if you're a skilled craftsman who can do everything with a single like multi-head screwdriver and a hammer. You would rather have your full toolbox, wouldn't you? Of course you would. You could work, do everything you need to do, probably, or a lot of what you need to do on a car with a crescent wrench. That's a brand of wrench, an adjustable wrench. But wouldn't you rather have the bespoke wrench that's meant to fit the thing? Of course. So, to circle back, man, I managed to make these answers really long, don't I? To circle back to oracles and the original question, what factors do you consider for which oracles you want to roll? Okay. So the answer then comes back down to specificity. What is the most specific thing that applies to the situation that I can roll? Okay. So if I'm on a derelict and I'm exploring a derelict, it just seems to make the most sense to use a derelict. Now, could I, okay, I'm on a space station right now. Could I have used some stuff under the Starship Oracles? Maybe, but not really. They don't really apply. Okay. Could I have used, to just get a general idea of what was going on, could I have just rolled like action theme? Probably. And I might have even gotten something that would have pointed me in the right direction. And I could use action theme. Okay, I'm in a new area. What's the theme? What's going on in this area? And I roll action theme. Or I roll descriptor and focus. You know, what's going on in this section? And I roll and I get colossal signal. I can work with that. I can absolutely work with that. Finesse it around and all this other kind of stuff. But I'm not necessarily going to think of stuff that I wouldn't otherwise think of. I mean, it'll still help me. It'll still force me into some unexpected things. But I am on a ship. I am on a station that is not functioning in its intended way. I have an oracle for wandering around a place that is abandoned by typical society. There. There's still people around and stuff like that, but it's not exactly a derelict. It's pretty close. And then I look at the two different kinds of derelicts that I have. I have ships and I have settlements, and it's a big station. I'm going to treat it like a settlement. And then I get now when I'm looking for various things, I can look and say, okay, well now I have zones, so I could use the descriptor and focus, and it would probably work, but. Isn't it much more specific to say, no, we're not going to go into access here. We're going to go into feature. And now we know that there's abandoned gear in the area. I'm not going to get abandoned gear from descriptor and focus. And I know that this table has been customized specifically for stuff that probably 99% of the time makes sense in the area that I'm at. It's not enough to just have a spaceship furnishings table. And say what's in this area because I'm gonna get a bed or a kitchen cabinet or something like that. And I don't that doesn't make it med equipment. It doesn't make any sense. It's in an access shaft, right? I'm gonna get stuff here that is not only appropriate for the area, but also appropriate for the kind of place that we're at, because this is a place now under siege, right? So a derelict now really fits thematically. Dismantle equipment, flashing strobe lights, leaking pipes, makeshift barricades, scrawled warning, sealed breach. These are all the flavor, and it's all stuff that goes into this particular dish perfectly. But I work with description and focus? Absolutely. And there's times where nothing else really fits. I'm going to run into a situation where I just need to know, let's say I'm wandering around a city. Technically, I could probably use settlement. This is a derelict settlement. It may not actually be, unless I want it to be dangerous, but I'm just wandering around a shiny, fancy town. Initial contact, authority, settlement projects, trouble, name. I don't really have a good thing in the settlements area that really tells me, like, what part of the city am I in? Unless I go digging in some other game, I'm probably not going to have, like, a random city generator kind of a thing. But you know what I do have? I have descriptor and focus, and I can roll it then. If nothing else fits, broken wreckage. That's interesting. I can probably do something with that. And it works well enough. Right? I feel like broken and wreckage is a little bit redundant, but okay. And if I'm in a nice part of the city, why? Why is that there? Now I'm curious. Now I'm going to go into it. So it boils down to I'm going to try the thing. I'm going to solve for the lowest common denominator. What is the thing that it is most like what I'm doing? Because I'm going to get the best, most appropriate results. And I can just keep backing out from that to a broader camera angle to use those bigger things. Like I could use action theme to get a threat. But if I am in a derelict thing and I am in an access area and I know that there's a danger here because I rolled really badly and I know that there's supposed to be a danger here, I roll peril because, again, while action theme could probably give me peril that I need, this is going to give me peril, again, that is specifically pointed at this place and time. Hazardous environmental changes. I'm in an access corridor. That's terrible. I have undead banging on the outside of the place, and everyone's losing their shit. Bad. I forgot about that, by the way, and I just remembered it because I had this whole other plan, and I forgot that the undead. I forgot that the tech zombies are banging on the outside of the station. I had this whole other thing going on. I might still do my plan. Earl's not a big thinker. Anyway, right. So go for the thing that's closest to what you're going for, but remember that you have these. This is probably why I very infrequently. I wouldn't say rarely, but quite infrequently use like just the straight up Oracle, the 50-50 thing, because there's probably something else that's going to get me something closer to what I need to know. I don't often just ask yes or no questions. Not a lot. Sometimes I do. I did last time. I did twice last session. So what the hell do I know? Nothing. That's what I know. Nothing. So we have paint mental picture. Let's get started. We are however many minutes into this thing, 15 minutes into this. Oh my God. Call it 12 minutes. Anyway, we're in here and we should get rolling. I just want to point out that my roll for that focus was a 100. Rare. Interesting. Not going to use it, but that's fine. Anyway, so where are you going, Earl Baxter? Let us paint the scene here while we think through this. So we're in that central shaft and we're ready to come up into the next wheel, the hub of the next wheel. We've come away from the weird multi-dimensional puzzle thing hanging up in the sort of on display, this art piece that's also like kind of bending time and space, not great. And Fidget and I were delayed somewhat looking at that. Asana and Arnav got ahead of us, climbed up through a porthole into the next area that apparently was guarded. The other two kind of blundered into it. There was a lot of shouting. Asana was planning to drop back down through the ladder hatch that we were unfortunately blocking, and that delay meant that they had time to react and shot her. Right about then, heavy banging on the outside of the hole, and this people up on top yelling, they're outside, they're right here, they came around from the outside, and a lot of panic and screaming and that kind of thing. So let's pick it up there. All right, so the situation as it stands right now is Asana is laying across the hatch and like across the upper hatch, and you know, there's blood kind of dripping from a wound that she has there. Saw her face for a little bit, so I don't know what kind of shape she's in. It's probably not great. And I know that, and I'm picturing like Arnav kneeling over. Everybody else up there is also shouting and that kind of stuff. And I'm gonna say that the tech zombies are not getting in quickly. So it gives them time to calm down somewhat, but they're still obviously not super happy with us. So there's like, you know, what are you doing? You get up, get off, or get away, step up, hands in the air, get away. And Arnav makes eye contact with me and has rolled Asana back away off the hatch. So she's got like a firm surface. She's not, you know, thing. He rolls her back and makes eye contact with me. And then he stands up and he turns, but he's like, so if the circle's like this, he's rolled her toward them. And then he stand up and sort of stepped behind her so that he is where he's sort of standing over the hatch kind of, and he's looking with his hands up directly at the person who's speaking. He's like, all right, just calm down. Listen, I realize y'all are upset, but we don't have any, look at this. I don't have any wires on me. Neither does she. Now, she's been shot. I don't think these things probably bleed the way normal people do, but she definitely does bleed the way normal people do. Now, we didn't know any of this was going on. We just docked up at the end of the station. We are normal traders that were just trying to find our way. We got cut off by those things, and we tried to find our way as best we could, and y'all shot us. Now, there's nothing wrong here that we can't resolve. calmly, "We're happy to help you with these things, but we didn't have any part in it. We're not part of this, and I imagine that you know who's part of it, and it ain't us. You don't even know us." I gotta pull my hands on, because this is actually getting kind of tiring. This is what a wuss I am. I can't even hold my hands up in the air for very long. All right, so this is Arnav talking, but I think this is a... There's two things going on here. I'm going to try to get them to calm down, but barring that, I'm setting up a situation where I can do something unexpected. So first thing we're going to do, Arnav is an agent. He's a good talker, and I'm going to roll my... I'm going to have Earl roll with Arnav helping, even... I mean, that's mechanically, that's what's happening, even though Arnav's actually doing the one doing all the talking. And we're going to go in here and try to do a compel, which isn't terrible. When you try to persuade someone or make them an offer, envision your approach. And we're going to roll heart with this, I think. Yeah, we're going to roll heart with this. Charm, pacify. You could probably say we're lying, but whatever. Feels more like a heart roll. This is Arnav doing this. I'm the one that's actually rolling. I'm going to roll my heart, but I'm going to take a +1 for Arnav's agent skill, because he is putting himself in this role and he is playing this role to perfection because he is an agent. And that is what we are going to do for this. So charm, pacify, encourage, or barter. Take a +1 because of Arnav helping me. And roll them bones. Them bones say no. Well, they don't say no. They say not much. So on a weak hit, which is what I got, they'll do what you want or agree to your conditions, but they man with a demand or complication. Envision their counteroffer. Well, their counteroffer is pretty straightforward. They want everybody out in the open. They want everybody disarmed and, you know, lined up. And I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with that in these circumstances. There's just too many. And also, once they see me, they're going to know what's going on, and that's all going to deteriorate rapidly. I see where Arnav was going with this, but ultimately, unless we sneak by or something, I don't see how we can do this without not acceding to their demands, like sort of going along with this. I don't see how we can do it if we go along with this, I should say. The conditions don't work for me. So I've never really had this where I had the compel and then they have the complications. They got a counteroffer. Well, so I guess there's two different ways that it can go. It's like the situation is either going to get more complicated because we're not going along with it, or it's going to get more complicated because we are. Rather than go along with this, we are going to do something else. Now, Arnav did another thing for me in this scene. He was also looking directly at the person who was speaking. And when the guy says, you know, put down all your stuff and step forward, we'll take you into custody. We don't have to shoot you. Just put your weapons down. Any weapons you have on you, and you have anybody else with you. And Arnav kind of looks down, but he doesn't look down like he's looking at me. He looks down like he's, you know, nodding, you know, acquiescing kind of thing. And then he looks up and he steps away and to the side. This is important because he draws the attention of the people who are looking at him away from the porthole. So our Earl is going to pull out his rarely used firearm. And Fidget kind of grabs his wrist and he's like, no. And he's going to get up the ladder rungs and get really close. And I'm waiting for my moment, which is when Arnav is going to like start to undo the big backpack and swing the thing down and like drop it onto the deck. Like, I'll get this thing off. It's where all my stuff is at. I'm carrying any weapons. It's where all my stuff is at. So you can come up here. You need to take care of her. She's hurt. Okay, I need a med pack or something. If you don't have one, I do, but I've got to get in my pack or somebody else has to get it for me. All right, can somebody come up here? As he's unshouldering all this stuff, and then he drops it down. And when this hits, and involuntarily everyone looks at that thing that for a second they focus on this great big backpack that Arnav was carrying. And that is when I am going to make my move. And I have to figure out how I'm going to make that move. So when you initiate combat or are forced into a fight, envision your objective. Oh, I don't like this at all. Might do this as a battle roll. Envision your objective and roll. If you primarily fight using trickery to befuddle your foe, roll plus shadow. Because I don't really want to get into a great big long fight. Nothing wrong with the mechanics. I just don't feel like doing it. I'd rather do the battle move. Okay, so when you're fighting using trickery to befuddle your foe, roll plus shadow on a strong hit. Boom. Okay. So I know momentum isn't going to help me here, so I don't like using the battle move unless I've got a pile of momentum, because it's one roll, so you can usually fix it with momentum if it doesn't go quite your way. In this case, it's not good, but we're going to have to do this. So he drops it down. I'm going to pop out of the hatch and take my shot, as many as I can, with the people who are not paying attention because they don't think anybody else is there, and I'm going to leap up and do that. And as I'm doing that, I think Arnav is going to dive for something as well. Whether or not that works, I leave up to a function of the dice telling me how this thing actually goes. So I'm going to roll, and I am using trickery to befuddle your foe, and I'm again adding a plus one from Arnav for him helping me, because he's an agent and he's used to trickery and befuddlement in the midst of a fight. Dude, this I blame watching Spy Family for the last couple of weeks with my kid, last week I should say, with my kids, for this, because now I'm all like, let's do a really fancy fight thing, and we're gonna trick them and we're gonna do the thing, and then we're gonna dive into a bag and pull out this nobody's expecting blend. Show's gonna get me killed. That is not gonna stop me from watching it. It's adorable. Anya must be protected at all costs. It's amazing. It's on Hulu. You should go watch it. It's very, very entertaining. Anyway, but yeah, this is me leaning into that and being inspired by that and probably dying as a result. So let's roll some battle. What did we get? We didn't get the little beep. Okay. Well, all right. That was a strong hit. That was a 9 against a 6 and a 2. Sweet. Love it. Wait, let's get the dice box up here so y'all can see that. Yeah, so 9 against 6 and 2. So a battle. When you fight a battle and it happens in a blur and vision your objective roll, on a strong hit, you achieve your objective unconditionally. You and your allies who join the battle may take plus 2 momentum. I didn't answer the question I should have answered first, which is what is the objective. I think the objective is to... The idea is just to drive them back. So I'm popping up out of the hatch. Or Earl is popping up out of the hatch, and I take a couple of shots, say, bam, bam, and it's unexpected. It gives me a second to take the breath that I need to take to make the shot. Arnav dives into his bag, and I think he pulls out, and you see like the shots hitting behind him as he's diving down into this thing, and he dives into his bag, and he comes out with one of those grenades that we saw him pack in his bag earlier, like a couple episodes ago when he was getting ready to go, that Earl saw him pack in there, or that we saw. I don't remember if Earl saw it or we saw it. But in any case, he pulls out a grenade and he chucks it at the largest group. And it's more of a concussion grenade. I don't think there's a lot of shrapnel because, again, we live on space stations, and that's, we knew we were coming to a space station. So let's say Arnav had the sense to do that. But they're left. Maybe one of them is down. A bunch of them are reeling and staggering and stuff like that. Ears ringing, probably blood from their ears and their nose and that kind of thing. And a bunch of them are like getting back up and kind of scrambling away. And I'm firing shots. And now Arnav's got a gun out. We're firing shots. They are retreating down the corridor away from us at speed is what that all boiled down to. Probably there was a very peppy fight scene music in the background that sounds like it came from Cowboy Bebop or something. Anyway, like a lot of horns. A little bit of jazz. Anyway, so that's going there, and then I scramble up through the hole, kind of nod to Arnav as a grenades. He goes, well, never know when you need a grenade. Got any more? He kind of does a little shrug, sideways shrug kind of thing, and I'm like, would like to get a better answer than that, but whatever. And I'm gonna kind of scramble over on my hands and knees, you know, kind of duck walk over to Asana and just kind of, hey, how are you doing? Well, there seems to be a whole lot of explosions going on, so maybe you tell me how I'm doing. And like, you're look at the thing. You're fine. You're just fine here. So I am going to do a recover move. I'm going to do a heal. When you receive medical care, I provide treatment, envision the situation. That's not hard. And roll. Provide care for companion. We're going to call it a companion. We're going to roll plus wits. Okay. We're going to roll plus wit. Oh, everybody takes plus 2 momentum from that last fight. Cool. We're going to roll and we're going to do the thing here. Roll plus wits. She's a thief. Arnav is a scout and an agent. Fidget is a crew member and a technician. I don't think I'm getting any help on this, ladies and gentlemen. Although Fidget will help, but mechanically she's not going to be helping on this. And I'm going to roll a heal, providing care. No bonuses. Scary. Fuck! That's a miss. Okay. That is an unrecoverable miss. Okay. On a miss, the aid is ineffective and the situation worsens. Pay the price. Bugger. That is not great. I'm just gonna roll the pay the price oracle, but I think I might have to pick something here too. Oh, well, no, wait. The environment of the terrain introduces a new hazard. Okay, so what we're gonna look at here is she's got shot. Where did she get shot? I'm gonna say if it were in the shoulder or something like that, it wouldn't be nearly as worrisome. I'm gonna say that she actually got shot in her midsection, kind of on the side. And those are always worrisome, right? Because they're like stomach, it's like on the side. The stomach shots, there's a lot of organs in there, soft tissue, could be a lot of puncturing. We're gonna say that the big scary thing is the fact that there's no exit wound. Okay, so I put a patch on it, but that is very much just plugging one hole in the dike when the floodwaters are rising. And we're kind of murmuring. Asana probably passes out in the middle of this from the pressure or something like that. It's like, and I got the look on her face, and Arnav's like, Arnav comes over, and he's like, "What is it?" It's like, "There's no exit wound." Well, then what do you do? I can't do anything about it right now, but it's in there. And she's still bleeding. None of that's good. And we don't know what it got hit with or anything. So that, we got to move her. We got to get a plan, and we got to move her, which is also not good. So we got to figure out something here that we can move her with. And right about then, the banging on the outside, what we hear is a beeping down the corridor in the direction that we need to go. There is a beeping indicating that the exterior door on an airlock is cycling. They're not coming in, but they are coming in. They're not about to come in, but they are coming in. Somebody is cycling the outside door of the airlock nearest us, and we have got to move. So I need a, what did we roll? I'm just going to say that there is actually abandoned gear around here, since I rolled. Scavenger. When you face danger, to cobble together an ad hoc tool, device, or weapon, envision what you intend to create. Face danger. On a hit, you may add +1 when making a move aided by the item. If you roll a 1 on your action die when using this item, it is permanently broken. That is what I want, is I am making a ad hoc device, tool, or weapon, and I am going to face danger to craft a thing. Now, this is scavenger and gearhead can work in kind of synergy here, because I'm facing danger, but since it is to make a thing, repurpose, modify equipment or tech, I do get from gearhead a +1 on that roll, and take a +1 roll, +1 to my momentum from that. So we're gonna face danger, and I'm just grabbing everything I got here to get some kind of like stretcher travoy kind of thing going here, and we're gonna face danger. You know, that move that works for everything if you just squint at it the right direction. In this case, it's the most appropriate thing for what I want to do. So we're going to move with, it pretty much has to be wits, right? So we're going to roll with wits. I get a +1 for my move. I think Fidget can help me because she's a technician and she's a crew member. I think either one of those, you could kind of squint at it sideways and say she can help you cobble together a mechanical thing. Now, as a technician, she's probably more into electronics or whatever, but she doesn't know how to use a wrench. She can help, and aside from that, as a crew member, you know, she's had to do, like, you know, sort of basic first aid emergency procedures, also the kind of stuff. So I think she gives me a +1 on this as well, which brings me up to a +2 from my modifiers and rolling my wits, which is also a 2, and we'll see what we get on that. And that, this time, unlike my miss, is a strong hit. So, strong hit on my move. You're successful, take +1 momentum. Good, lovely. And looking back at my assets, on a hit, you can add +1 when making a move aided by the item. If you roll a 1 on your, Okay, so now what is the move that I'm gonna, I think it's another face danger move. We're gonna make a face danger move to get the frack out of here before, it's funny because I say face danger in the original example, it's like this thing that's sort of generically, It doesn't mean it's not useful in lots of situations and is the most appropriate thing, because I truly am facing danger and there isn't anything better for it. There's no move for run really fast carrying a stretcher. It is the best move in a lot of cases. My point before isn't that it's so generic as to not be used. That was what I was saying. You know, it's not so broad that it doesn't ever come up. It's that it's so flexible that it can be used for everything if you don't mind doing a lot more mental heavy lifting. So we're going to face danger. We are probably rolling with an edge, which does not make me happy. I get a +1 on the thing that it's meant to do. So I'm facing danger. We're moving with speed and mobility. And again, I'm going to take a +1 from my people with me, mostly because I mean, there's a couple different things here. Fidget's going to help me carry the thing. Again, crew member. With Arnav, really both of them are helping, because Arnav's using his like sort of smuggler and agent thing, and he's running Overwatch here. He's keeping like weapons up, and he's scouting ahead for us and doing all this other kind of stuff. And that's great. I'm only taking a plus one because I'm not greedy, but I'm definitely going to take a plus one because if they're not going to help me, especially in situations like this, why did I bring them? The whole point of that is for this kind of thing in this hard situation. So we are going to move and get the heck out of here, hopefully. And that is another roll. It's a weak hit. Oh man, it took a while to come up. Okay, so weak hit. You succeed, but not without cost. Make a suffer move. I think supply? And this is for the running. I would have taken it. I would have used supply as a hit when we were making the thing. It's a little weird to do it now. I don't really like health or spirit for this. So I take momentum. I mean, we are carrying a stretcher. I suppose it makes sense to slow down momentum. Sure. I'm going to take a suffer move to my momentum. Take a minus one to my momentum. Every so often, I am struck by the sheer elegance of the system. Now, I've been playing it a lot. I think we're up to, between this and Ravenloft, I've probably now played, just myself solo, something like 75 sessions of either Ironsworn or Starforge together. Okay. I played in a game that went on for 14, 15, 16 sessions or something like that. So that's, now we're up to 90-ish. And I've run, I mean, I'm up around 100. Because I played a couple more Starforge with some of my friends from TikTok, say three, and I've played, you know, three or four or five with my kids. So I'm at right around 100 sessions of play with Starforged and Ironsworn together. Not bad, not bad. So I've run quite a few sessions, and it's what's marvelous to me about this is that there are still moments when I realize some of the hidden elegance of the system. Health and Spirit both have a reaction move that lets you immediately possibly bounce back from your hit. Supply is expendable assets. Fictionally, it doesn't make sense to lose some resources and immediately bounce back, but there's moves to immediately bring it back. There's nothing like that in momentum, but there's everything like that because a ton of different moves keep the momentum flowing back and forth. And I respect so much how these resources that you have so clearly like have these little balances and checks to make them all equally useful in very, very different ways, even with different totals and different things that they represent and stuff like that. It is just such a smart game. And I will never get tired of being astonished by it. It's so very, very, very good. I'm poking around with a lot of different games right now, and they're all fun. They're great, and I enjoy them, and I'm excited to be playing and GMing them and stuff like that. But boy, I tell you what, for just the sheer polish and engineering and elegance of the game, this thing is just top of the damn pile. Anyway, so I'm going to take that's a hell of a lot of talking to do from just taking a momentum hit. But in any case, so we're going to take the momentum hit, and we're going to scramble along here, and we are going to run past that airlock as we see through the window that there are some just sort of dead-eyed, unmoving people standing within there as the door is shut, and we're seeing the oxygen level indicator on the outside of the hatch slowly tick up like one little colored bar at a time as it starts to fill up towards 100% so they can do the exchange thing. It's like, we need to move, we need to move, we need to move, we need to move, we need to move. And like, Arnav, I know. And he's dropped back from, he's scouting, but he's also looking back over the shoulder and says, we need to get out of this corridor so they can't see us. And we are going to do one more. This has gone on for quite a little bit of time here, but we're going to do one more move, undertake an expedition thing and move. We're moving at speed. This is terrible. We're moving at speed as we undertake an expedition and try to get the hell out of here. And we got a strong hit. I will take it. Hot damn. Okay, so with Arnav scouting ahead to give me a plus one, that's an 8 against a 7 and a 2. On the strong hit, you reach a waypoint, envision location, and mark progress according to the rank of the expedition. All right, great. So we are going to make progress. And we are going to go back into our oracles and go down to the derelict and look at the zones. We're going to move into a different zone here. Operations. Sweet. What do we got under operations? Where are we diving into here? Oh, we must be going quite far up the spoke here. So we're going into some kind of lounge area, some sort of group area or lounge. And cancel operations. And we are going to look at some features. Map of the site. Map of the site? map of the site. And this, gosh, is why you roll the bespoke oracle for the area, for the thing that you're doing, when the option presents itself. Because what a wonderful time to find something like this, to find a map of the site up on the wall of the lounge where we can, oh, I love this so much. Okay. We see this as we're pausing here, the two of us holding the stretcher, Asana, Sagdana, and Arnav there, and we see this thing still kind of lit. It's like the whole map of the whole station, basically, and it's kind of flickering and, you know, pss, 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 but it's there. And we see, while looking at it, Flicker reach back and smack a panel so that the door behind us goes psh, and shuts. And that is where we're going to stop. You know, that's where we're going to stop. Thank you, guys. But, you know, I just have to say, what a tone shift. Like, we've done a lot of, you know, space exploration and diving around and you know, bouncing from system to system. And now we're in a Left 4 Dead level. And it works. It just fucking works. Yeah. Sean Tompkin, you brilliant, brilliant, brilliant bastard. Chef's kiss. So good. Thank you so much. Everybody, thank you so much for hanging out. If you have any other questions, if anything that I said sparked something else that you want to ask or anything like that, or any comments, any theories, suggestions, whatever, cannot wait to hear them. Cannot wait to share this all with you because, this one's a good one. This is, I figured Meridian Station was going to take up a good chunk of sessions. Little did I know that I am ready to get dug in here and roll some gather information and figure out what we need to be doing next. Love it. Maybe I can find a med bay. All right. Thanks all. Thanks very much. And I will talk to you soon.